Welcome to the Inside Light podcast, a space for healing, self-connection, and all things spiritual. I'm Terry, also known in the sober world as Sassy Sober Mum, and I believe that within each of us lives a guiding light, a quiet, powerful presence that always knows the way. Here, we'll explore the many paths back to that light. Together, we'll dive into stories of healing, practices that bring us home to ourselves, and conversations about awakening. Those moments when we remember who we truly are. Whether you're seeking clarity, courage, or simply a reminder that you are not alone on your journey of life, this podcast is here to hold space for you. Because the light inside you has never gone out. It's always been guiding you, waiting for you to come back home. This is the Inside Light podcast. Let's begin. Hello, welcome to this week. This episode number 10, is actually the end of season one. Which feels, well, a bit bizarre, because I remember when this podcast was just a flicker of an idea and I really wanted to find somewhere to share my spiritual journey, my ideas, all the things that I have been learning that I feel are helpful for everybody. And so I remember when this was just a tiny idea, and then I remember how frightening it was pushing this out into the universe. If I'm being totally honest, I still have some of that exposure anxiety, if you like, where people will say to me, "I love your new podcast." And my immediate reaction will be, "No, you don't," or "No, it's not very good." But I'm learning to accept that this just comes as baggage when you do new things and when you push yourself out of your comfort zone. These sorts of thoughts can come up, those kind of self-sabotaging thoughts. But also, I just know with my journey with ADHD as well, the RSD component of ADHD, which is that rejection sensitivity dysphoria, that just, you know, struggles to accept or believe that the energy in the room is there to help you and calm you and keep you safe. You know, RSD will make you think that the energy in the room is just out to get you, and soon you will get caught out. So that is par for the course with the ADHD, which I feel grateful that I can bear witness to that I can witness that thought, and then I can recognize that that is a pattern that shows up for me. I can almost have a bit of a smirk, to be honest, like, "Oh yes, I see you, thought, I see you." Take a deep breath, reframe it, that the evidence shows me that people are enjoying it, because actually, this podcast has had more than 1,000 downloads already, which for 10 episodes, I feel extremely proud of. So thank you to everybody who's stuck by me and stuck with me and has been listening to this show so far. And yeah, now that I've got the first season across the line, I'm very proud. I'm very proud to be here, very proud to have done something difficult, but done it anyway. I know how easy it is to procrastinate, how easy it is to put something off. And I haven't done that with this. You know, I've taken a deep breath, I felt the fear, and I've done it anyway. So it's a nice energy for me today. It's a reflective, peaceful, and empowering energy that says, if you lean into the discomfort, good things will come. Good things always come from leaning into the darkness and leaning into the discomfort. You really discover what you're capable of in these situations. And so for that, I feel grateful. And sticking with the theme of being honest, I don't actually have a great deal of insight around what I'm going to talk to you about today. I'm truly winging it today. But apart from, I wanted to share something from the book that I'm reading at the moment, which is Journey of the Soul, and that is by Dr. Brenda Davies. It's the Awakening Ourselves to the Enduring Cycle of Life. And so this is a theme that I'm really exploring at the moment. And I've mentioned before on this podcast about soul planning and how we plan everything that we do on this 3D reality called Earth. And the people that we meet in this lifetime are people that we know very well, often know very well, and they are involved in our pre-planning, and that we have probably shared many, many lifetimes with. And I think about this a lot. I first got exposed to this concept in my 20s. I read a bunch of books by a lady called Doreen Virtue. And she created the angel cards as well, that I still have today, although they're not the same ones, I had to rebuy them. And this whole concept of soul planning and existing on these other dimensional soul planes, this concept, I don't know, it really resonated with me in my 20s, and I was fascinated by it. I really kind of bought into this concept, but for some reason, as I've mentioned before, I kind of put it all down, and I left it, and I moved on, and I forgot about it, and life took over, and I got very busy with work and relationships and having fun, and then having children, and all of the minutiae that comes with running life, all of the admin, the to-do lists, and just, you know, all the stuff that kind of clutters up our day and, you know, becomes very important. You know, this is the kind of admin of our lives, isn't it? And then, yeah, recently, obviously, having this new awakening and delving much more into that stuff around soul planning, obviously starting my training in quantum healing hypnosis technique, which was created by Dolores Cannon, and just this massive, you know, other belief system, I guess, or, you know, but not just belief system, because the more I read and the more I explore, the more I find different pockets of evidence. You know, people's stories are wonderful when it comes to this subject. You know, there are people that have seen angels, people that see spirits, that see people that have passed over, people that hear things, people that are connected to a higher power or a divine power, and they can explain that and articulate that in ways that is very compelling and very fascinating. And now science is starting to catch up a bit with quantum physics, and you know, it's I feel like we're on the cusp of a really exciting time. When I go on to my social media, which is not a lot because I'm still very much in that kind of not detox phase, but I'm trying to take social media and news and all that other noise, I'm trying to put it out of focus so that I'm not consumed by it, too distracted by it, too influenced by it. But when I do go onto social media and I look at accounts and I look at soul accounts or people that are spiritual, or there are so much out there. It's unbelievable. I feel like this is exploding. You know, we are in an explosion phase of people that are turning to spirituality, that are meditating, that are taking up yoga, that are doing women's circles, that are doing breath work, that are investing in tools for breath work, that are doing more Pilates, sound healing, chakra healing. I know it's always been fairly present, but it feels like there is big momentum. And maybe that is because more and more people are starting to wake up to their spirituality and have spiritual awakenings. As well as I think that we're in a bit of a crisis mode in terms of we're all feeling quite burnt out. We've all got we've got too many to-do lists. We've got too many priorities. We're all juggling. We're not spending enough time in nature. We're not spending enough time away from our phones and laptops children. We're almost in an epidemic of all the bad news out there in the world and all the crises that are happening all over the globe. And it's just all too much. It's bombarding our nervous system. And we are all living in a chronic state of fight and flight, high stress, high cortisol. And so more and more people are seeking healing, seeking time away, peace, stillness. And maybe some of that is encouraging all of this kind of this burst, this awakening, this powerful drive to bring this spirituality more into focus. Probably this is just the design. This is probably why I'm here, why I've chose to incarnate at this time, why you're here. Like, we're all part of this fabric in society where we're getting fed up, we're getting burnt out, we're over drinking, we're zoning out, and we're looking for escapism, and we just need something. We need more, but not more to do. We need almost to step back and take our foot off the pedal and just get back to being in our small village, rather than being our village being the global thing. It's like we think about ourselves and our family and our friends and our neighbors, and that's the capacity that we have, and that's kind of where it ends. Because I think we're getting to breaking point. So anyway, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent there, but I am really enjoying reading more deeply into the soul journey, the soul planning. What happens when we pass over and we leave this life? Where do we go? Who is there? And I've got a new fascination with near-death experiences, which are called, NDEs for short. And the amount of data that exists already about people and their near-death experiences. And, I feel like this is not a new phenomenon, but we just don't talk about this stuff openly. We sort of shut it away in a bit of a box, and people that believe it or people that talk about it, we're seen as being a bit woo-woo, and so we're yet to get to a point, I think, in society where this stuff becomes much more in focus and much more widely accepted. But anyway, in the meantime, I'm going to read you this beautiful piece in this book. And it's called Nurturing Our Soul. Our soul, like everything else, thrives when nurtured. And time and effort spent nourishing it will be richly rewarded in easing our journey and facilitating a rise in consciousness. That's kind of what I was trying to describe, actually. I think I feel that rise in consciousness right now. I'm part of it. Our soul thrives on inner peace, quiet, and gratitude. It responds to love, music, poetry, and the spoken word, truth, integrity, beauty, wisdom, and all the finer gifts. It delights in joy and harmony, play, laughter, and charm. It enjoys just being, and it loves being loving. It loves humanity, service, and life. It wants us to expand our boundaries, to burst out of the structure our minds have created, to take risks, rise to challenges, have fun, and become our magnificent selves. It rejoices when we spend time with people we love and who love us, and when we do what we do out of love. It is strengthened by processing our pain or helping others process theirs. A positive attitude cheers it and forgiveness empowers it. It is bruised by aggression, discordant noise, disharmony, dishonesty, violence, and abuse. It is saddened by self-destructive behaviour and by longing, which causes us to miss the beauty of now. So the choice is ours, whether we treasure and nurture our soul and smooth our way to enlightenment or harm it and hinder our progress. We can choose softness and gentleness, kindness and love, or harshness and aggression, meanness and revenge. We can choose silence, meditation, and peace, or argument, criticism, and sarcasm. We can choose walks in the forest, music and harmony, or smoke-filled noisy places with aggressive voices, alcohol, and drugs. We can learn to use our intuition, becoming aware of every single gift of the universe, hearing its nuances and seeing its signs, or ride roughshod over it, trampling its tenderness. But when we're struggling in pain, it often feels as though we have no choice at all. Don't worry, it's natural to rise and fall with our emotions, moods and relationships, and to have cycles of building and destruction. It's all part of our development as we learn inner balance. You can make a choice again in every moment. It's so beautiful, that piece of writing. When I read it, I just knew that I wanted to read it out on this podcast, because I don't know, something about it that just made me think, overall, I think we have that choice, don't we? We have the choice to choose our experience. And I know that things can come in our path and derail us, and that can feel very much like we're pushed out of control or out of our comfort zone. But now that I have this new perspective on life, I realize so much that the universe is always around us and it's always there trying to help us. But we're often blocking so much of that help. We're blocking it by not listening, not noticing the signs, not taking advantage of the different opportunities that come up, the opportunities that feel good, but also the opportunities that feel frightening and scary. We let fear take over. So much of the time, fear is running the show. And we perhaps don't even realize that. We perhaps don't even know. I love the phrase, if you didn't have fear, what would you do? That question is so powerful. If you didn't have fear, what would you do? I think if you can think about the biggest thing at the moment in your life that is causing you concern or sleepless nights, or just that you're worrying about, and if you approach that thing through the lens of, actually, if you didn't have fear, if there wasn't fear, if fear wasn't really a thing, what would you do? And I think that can help to guide you to what you truly desire, what you truly want. I appreciate the nuts and bolts of actually doing the thing is probably very difficult and comes with some stress, or, you know, someone might get upset or, might get hurt or whatever. But I think to know fundamentally what it is at your core that's really important and true for you, that helps you step into alignment. What would you do if you didn't have fear? And I think that now, looking through this lens of we've planned so much of what we experience in our lives. We've planned this for ourselves in an effort to help ourselves to wake up to how strong and brilliant and beautiful we all are, and to do something with our lives that was important to us before we came here. And that's not about, you know, I don't mean that in a, like, start a seven-figure business and, you know, I don't really love all of that kind of toxic, be the best, you know, far-reaching goals, earn all this money, do all this stuff. I don't mean in that way. But I mean thinking about what the soul is here for. Why would your soul be here in this lifetime? What things have come up for you in your life? What was your family life like when you were younger? What has your relationship experience been like? How is your mindset today? How was your mindset 10, 15 years ago? Are you changing? Have you changed? Are you growing? Are you moving towards a more awakened state? And if not, what can you do to help yourself open your eyes and wake up a little bit more each day? Because I think that when we try to look through the lens of what are the reasons why we're here, the way I feel about that now is that I do think it's multifaceted. I do think that we come here for, on one level, the richness of life experience. You know, if we all come from a place where there is beauty and harmony and deep love and everything's wonderful, but we're all the same source energy, you can understand why it would be really exciting to come to Earth. Why it might be exciting to come and experience poverty, or why it might be exciting to come and experience what it's like to be a famous author, or what it's like to have heartbreak, what it's like to have children, to not have children. And, you know, so there's a richness there in all of these different experiences if you come with the perspective that you are here to experience everything once, at least once. You can almost, on some level, you can understand why we might do that. You can understand why that would be an exciting journey for us to take. Then I think on the other level, we come here for karma, for karmic reasons. We come here because we have unfinished lessons, you know, as part of the richness of experiencing all the different kinds of things that you can experience with a human life on Earth. You build up karma and you have lessons to complete, like maybe learning forgiveness, learning compassion. And in that lifetime, if you don't manage to complete that lesson, then perhaps you come back to redo it. And perhaps you come back again if you still don't learn it. And you keep repeating the lesson until you get it, until it's integrated, until you've taken all of the learning from it. Same with karma. Perhaps in this lifetime, you build up some karmic debt, or you haven't completely paid off the karma from the last incarnation. So there is a karma element as well that we have to achieve. So actually, when we think about it, there's quite a few different levels to complete when we come into this human lifetime each time we come here. And then finally, I think that there is a consciousness level. There is a helping humanity, helping the planet, helping nature, helping everything rise and elevate. Helping, you know, at the moment we're living in really challenging times. You know, there are wars going on all over the world. There are challenges with countries not having enough food, not having stability. You know, there is issues with immigration, people for it, very many people against it.
there is just so much disharmony, I think, at the moment. A lot of the world is feeling sad and angry, and like, we just want something different. We want something better than what we've created. But so many people feel so powerless, and that can really affect people. And I think that links back to my point about, where is your village and what can you do to impact your village and take your mind away from the burden of global responsibility, of worrying about how we might fix everything, because that is overwhelming for one person. That's overwhelming for one team. That's probably why governments don't do very well, because it's just so many things to fix, and it's very difficult to feel like we're making progress. And I know myself, having come through a crisis with a child being in school and not having the SEND support, and that is another, you know, growing crisis, that there are more and more and more families that are feeling the strain of school being the one size fits all template that it is, and their child not fitting into that system, and that's burning that family out, because they're having to fight for basic support that unfortunately isn't really available, or there's no budget for. And it's just, you know, when you think about all of these things, it's overwhelming. And whilst I don't think I don't think it's helpful for us to feel like we have any personal responsibility for that, or that we can really make that much impact, I do think that we can focus on ourselves, focus on our families, focus on our own healing, focus on, you know, helping those that are around us, and being a good human, you know, being caring, having compassion, showing forgiveness, and having boundaries, and raising our own vibration, essentially, raising our own frequency, which does impact those around us. It impacts ourselves positively, it impacts those around us. And slowly but surely, if we were all focused on our own inner healing and, you know, love and forgiveness and compassion and all those high frequency emotions, we would slowly raise the consciousness, the global consciousness, which would actually raise the frequency of the planet, which would make everything else just feel so much better. So you can have your part to play in all of this, but it perhaps just looks differently to how you imagined that it would look. I think that when you think about the journey of the soul that has been around since the beginning of everything, so millions of years, and has probably been insects and been men, been women, been all kinds of different things on different astral levels, different soul planes, different dimensions, different planets, different galaxies, different universes. You know, who knows what's going on up there? I mean, that's the, in a weird way, that's the beauty of it, really, is that I feel now like I am not afraid of death. Don't get me wrong, I'd rather not die tomorrow. I've got 3 children who really depend on me, and a husband, and I've got a good life, and I want to achieve a lot more. But hopefully at the end of my life, when I've done a lot more work on myself and done my little bit, you know, in my village to help myself and those around me and the people that I love, I will welcome death, because it is only death of this one life. And I feel like there is many more to come, and there's more learning, and there's more expansion, and there's more elevation for my soul to experience. And it's not something I fear now. When I read about the passing over in this book that I'm reading, and how people come to guide you through that process. And it's people that you recognize, people that you love, people that you've lost. And there is that feeling of coming home after this lifetime. You know, that's not, for me, something to fear. That's something to think, well, you know, I completed all the levels that I could get to in this lifetime, in the game of life, and now I get to go home. And I get to go home and review everything I've done in this life and to see if I achieved what I wanted to, if I learned what I wanted to. Did I repay my karmic debt? Did I create more? What do I need to do next? And so it's, yeah, it's kind of, it's an interesting last episode of this season one. But, you know, this stuff is very, I just feel like we don't talk about this stuff that much. And in some cultures, you know, people are very close to this understanding of life and of human death. And in some parts of the world, there is preparation for afterlife and going into the next phase of soul development. But in this country, you know, in my home country in England, it's not something that we talk openly about. It's not something that I would say we generally feel comfortable with. It's something that's quite quickly shut down and kind of poo-pooed in a way. You know, some people would listen to this podcast and think that perhaps I'd lost the plot. Who knows? Maybe I have. But I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. You know, it's taken me 10 episodes to get to where I am, to feel confident and comfortable enough to let this flow out of me and to really articulate this in a way that is congruent with how I really feel and what I want to share to inspire something potentially different in the way that you feel or think. And so, on that note, and thinking about wrapping up for a couple of months or so, and obviously we're in autumn now and we're heading into winter, into the Christmas period, I wanted to leave a few soul inquiry journal prompts that you can reflect on, that you can journal around, in order to, yeah, see how some of this might land in your life. So I think the first question I have is to ask yourself, what does your soul most want to experience in this lifetime? You know, what comes up for you when you ask that question? What does your soul most want to experience in this lifetime? What has been the theme of your life so far? What comes up for you when you think and reflect on that question? And I think linking to that, if you could see your soul blueprint in front of you now, imagine that that's a document of all the things that you've committed to, learning about, and sharing with the world. What would the themes or lessons, what would stand out in terms of themes and lessons? So it's quite similar to the first question, but I think generally just thinking about why, if you were to look through the lens of you have had many lives and you will go on and have many more, and in this incarnation that you're in right now, in the life that you're in right now, what is it that your soul wants to experience? And what themes or lessons really stand out that could help you to understand what that soul blueprint probably is? And the next prompt is, where do you feel resistance? Where do you feel resistance in your life? And how could that be guiding you towards a deeper truth? And I think it's important here to pay particular attention to big challenges that you've had in your life. You know, for me, I have my, you know, challenge. I've got my mother wound, which I've healed, but was a big challenge in my life. I've had family members that have fallen out, and I haven't seen them for years and years, including one of my brothers. I've got two half brothers, but one of them I don't talk to anymore. And you know, I've had to kind of walk away and let that go. And just, yeah, when you look at the highlight reel of your life, particularly the challenges, what have you learned from those challenges, and what truth could they be guiding you towards, especially a deeper truth? And I think the last thing is really paying attention to, what would you do if you didn't have fear? Whether that's in relationships, whether that's in work, whether that's something just for yourself. What would you do if you didn't have fear, and how would you guide yourself to go and grab the thing that your soul is craving, is reaching out to get? So I hope that you've enjoyed today's episode. I have really enjoyed talking to you. I'm so happy that I came on and did this now. And I look forward to seeing you next season. Please take care and catch up soon.